Hey guys, and welcome to this week's On the Trail podcast with Jared Stansberry and Adam Gray. Stay tuned. You'll get your inside look at the current going-ons within Iowa State athletics, specifically recruiting. But before we start the show, here's a shout-out to our sponsor, The Exercise Coach, that's located down on Mill Civic Parkway in West Des Moines. The Exercise Coach, it's changing the way that you think about fitness. Achieve the results that you want, no matter what they are, with these two 20-minute workouts per week. Now, hey, let's jump on the trail. Here are your hosts, Jared Stansberry and Adam Gray.
This edition of the Cycling Fanatic Podcast is brought to you by our friends at The Exercise Coach. It is On the Trail. Jared Stansberry, Adam Gray. What's up, Adam Gray?
Oh, you know, just another day, buddy. Another day of little recruiting news here and a break from what has been a two-week ass-kicking for the Cyclones.
Yeah, we are the Hope Podcast, as we declared last week.
I'm gonna try to stick with the Hope here. It's tough.
On the trail, a new hope.
This negativity from the football team is
that's what we should
start spilling into the on the trail.
We should have called On the Trail a new hope. We should have just
a new hope.
Yeah, a new hope. There we go.
Because here's the deal, and I talk about this a lot in the Fallcast. But everyone seems to get really excited about new entrance musics or, oh, my God, we got white uniforms and white helmets. None of that shit matters.
Those white uniforms look good, though.
Oh, I could care less. They could be the greatest uniforms in the world. We still got our butts kicked, okay? The only thing that's really that matters is where we go for recruiting because it's all about players, right? Now, you got to coach them. You got to work with them. But Iowa State needs an influx of talent. They need to build depth. And so you listen to this podcast, you get what actually matters. Not any of that outside garbage tweeting and you know, helmets and songs. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters is what we're going to talk about right now.
See, the thing is that actually matters more in what we talk about right here than what it does in what happens on the field.
Yeah, it's cool. At first, we'll see. You keep losing these games 44-3. We'll see what recruits start thinking about that, too.
That's fair. We're going to talk about some basketball first here today. Obviously, the recruiting live period opened up on earlier, I think it was on Friday. Steve Prohm was in to visit Lindell Wigginton on Friday, and then he went to Eugene, Oregon for a visit. And then Steve Prohm was back in Virginia visiting Lindell Wigginton again, four-star point guard from Oak Hill Academy.
I like it. Let him know he's a priority.
He's like, it's like a middle finger to Dana Altman. Like, I'm going to bookend your little trip that you're sending him on here.
Now, he is a key guy, and I think it's great. Yeah, bookend and pretty much let him know that, hey, we're doing everything we possibly can do to get you here to Iowa State.
Like, you might be going to Oregon this weekend, but don't forget about us.
Yeah.
We'll be here when you leave. We'll be here when you get back.
I love it. Right now, we sit here today, and he still has to come to a visit, which is in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's a week from Saturday.
Saturday. You think Iowa State's going to get this kid?
I do.
I do, too.
And I just have a good feeling.
I didn't think that 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Before it was like, I wouldn't say it was like a pipe dream, but it was just like, it just seemed like Oregon was going to get him.
Yeah.
You know? And like, I just got a feeling now that Iowa State's, he's gone so long since he left his visit. It's been 2 days now since he left Oregon and he hasn't committed. It's just like, I don't know. I just have a good feeling about it. I've got a good vibe.
I do too. Now, if you're a coach and you're setting up a recruiting weekend, do you want to be the first visit or do you want to be the last visit?
The thing is, with basketball, I don't know if this is true with everybody, but I feel like guys take fewer visits, you know?
Yeah.
Because I feel like I think with basketball, you're more often, you go on your one visit and then you commit. That happens all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that happens as much in football.
Well, I think this is really where it comes down to the coach.
Yeah.
The coach being able to read a player because every player is different. Every recruit's different. Some recruits, and I think a good coach can read this, they like to kind of play out the process, right?
Mm-hmm.
They like to feel the love a little bit. They like to get their five visits, which I have no problem with, right? Take all your visits. In that situation, if you know that a guy is going to draw out the process, get all five visits in, and then make it, I think you want to be last.
Yeah.
If this is a kid where
You think he could jump it?
Yeah, because he just wants the right fit.
Right.
You've gone, you met with him and his family. They want a good situation for the kid, and they want the right fit. And you think, hey, this fit's good for us, and we could be the first one to show it. Because let's be honest, there's a lot of times a kid goes to a school and they fit there, and mm-hmm. they say that's a great fit. they probably fit at other schools too.
Right.
There, other schools are set up for this kid to go out there and succeed. So you want them to be first. I think a lot of it is just reading each individual recruit differently.
See, and I think that like McKinley Wright,
yeah,
he would have fit into the second category of
get him here right now. We'll get a commitment out.
Right. Yeah. If he comes on campus, he would be likely to commit. And I think that that was kind of what messed up the timeline for Iowa
State.
They
were kind of trying to slow it down a little bit. Yeah. Well, and part of that, I mean, just to be fair too, is the level of recruit.
Right.
Right. I mean, how many offers do you have? How many offers of schools that you
want to go to? I think he's actually announcing tonight.
Is he?
He's probably going to end up at Dayton.
Perfect school for him.
Yeah.
Good friend of mine growing up, Jimmy Benny, went out there, played at Dayton for 4 years.
He didn't play for Archie, did he?
No, he played for Brian Gregory, who was then since went to Georgia Tech and I believe has been fired since then.
Yeah, I think he actually just got fired last year.
Yeah. So.
Prohm was also in to visit Keyshawn Feasel, the commit, over the weekend. The big man commit from Mississippi.
When's the early signing period for basketball again?
Starts in October, doesn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. But I don't know for sure the exact day.
I probably Google that.
He was in to visit Isaiah Stokes, who we talked about last week. He saw him on Friday, the 6'8 big center. Baby Shaq. Yeah. Sean May.
Well, yeah, we got to do Baby Sean May because Baby Shaq's already taken.
Yeah.
I'll take Baby Sean May, man.
Well, Baby NCAA Sean May, not Charlotte Bobcats Sean May.
I'll take either.
Darius McNeil, they're going to visit him Tuesday, so today.
Okay.
They will visit him when the podcast comes out.
Early signing period for basketball is November 9th through the 16th.
Okay, yep.
So who's the last one you said? I apologize.
Darius McNeil, yeah. Today, Tuesday.
Okay.
I think they saw maybe Elijah Joyner on Sunday, too.
They get Lindo Wigginton. Are they done with Elijah Joyner?
You just said his name in like 15 syllables right there.
Go easy on me. I'm still hungover from Saturday.
So what'd you say?
If they get Wigginton,
yeah,
are they still going after Joyner? Or are they kind of, you think they'll wash their hands of Joyner and
I'd
done?
Say, yeah, I would say that's probably what they would do. I think they want Wigginton. He's probably, like, if they can get Wigginton, they're gonna sit tight until the spring.
No, they'll still try to get Stokes.
Yeah.
Stokes. And then from there, you're probably right. Try to get a JUCO or a grad transfer because you got to balance classes too. Having six guys do a class is quite a bit.
Right.
Now the chances of all six staying for all 4 years is
think if you can get Lindell Wigginton and Isaiah Stokes, and then you were saying, what'd you say, the Fab Five last week?
Iowa State's version of the Fab Five.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. That's legit.
Minus Chris Weber. I mean, it would be a very, very nice class for Iowa State. It would not rank up there with any of these elite classes we typically see from Kentucky or Kansas. But Iowa State, it'd be a very, very nice class.
I think I saw something the other day that the best class Iowa State's ever even had is only 30-something.
Oh, gosh.
Well, at least the best one Fred ever had was.
Oh, yeah. Well, because Fred made his hay off transfers.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So Tim Floyd had some nice classes. The problem with him is a lot of times those classes never came to fruition. A lot of kids never showed up. Same with Wayne Morgan. The joke is he had Ivan Shirioff, 5-star. The NBA needs Ivan. He never showed up at Iowa State either. So, I mean, Iowa State's had some really nice classes. I mean, you even go back and look at the Craig Brackens class with Deontay Garrett. Lucas Steiger was a nice commit for them. Those were good classes. And
didn't Lucas Steiger just like leave in the middle of the night?
Middle of the season, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so first, you know, the very first year he got ruled ineligible because, you know, something over in Germany. Then he came and played. Foot speed, very comparable to myself on foot speed, but the kid did have a very nice jumper. Not Big 12 foot speed, though.
In football recruiting news, Octavius Morgan, the junior college defensive back from Butler County, he decommitted from Iowa State.
Did he give a reason? I never did see that.
I don't believe so. And he's a difficult one to reach. So
he was here for the UNI game, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Must not have been impressed.
I don't know if that's what it was or, just didn't – maybe wasn't a right fit for him.
Yeah. This one –
there's always just so many variables with the junior college guys.
This one hurts a little bit.
Yeah.
And the reason is, in Iowa State's cornerback position is fairly nice, and they have other cornerbacks coming in, obviously, but they're going to be young. But we're losing Jay Jones, Tribune, and Jamal Wiltz.
Tribune's going to be back this week. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah. How much do you think he plays?
I bet he plays a little bit. I don't think he's going to be a starter, but.
I mean, honestly, there was a couple breakdowns in Iowa State's coverage, and Iowa's first two touchdowns. Other than that, I thought the coverage was pretty solid.
Yeah.
I thought C.J. Beathard was just extraordinary in that game. And I thought he put the ball right on the money in places where Iowa State's defense, either Payne or Peavy were there a couple times.
Yeah.
And the offense was just better.
I think that some of those times, like when Peavy would get beat on some of those throws, he would cover it as well as Brian Peavy possibly could. But if he was like 6'2", 6'1",
yeah.
It's a play that he could knock the ball down. But he's just – as he covered it as well as he possibly could,
yeah.
He made a nice play.
He did. Really nice plays. I mean, you lose a guy like Octavius Morgan. You have Peavy coming back next year. I'm looking here at other cornerbacks.
Arnold Azuna.
Does DeAndre Payne go out and play just strictly man cover next year? He's a sophomore. He'd have 2 years of playing corner. Very well could.
Yeah.
I think he would do it. Arnold.
Did he play corner at Tennessee? I feel like he did.
I think he probably did. I mean, I think that's where they recruited him. But they, you know, he's kind of like that Tyrone Mathieu.
Yeah.
They can kind of move him around in different spots and just say, go make plays. I thought he played good.
He came in on his first play and made a nice play on a ball.
A third down.
Yeah, to make them punt on their first drive.
Very nice. And, you know, even the touchdown where CJ made that pass to Vandenberg, he was right there. He was all over.
Yeah.
Great throw, great catch. You look at that and you say, hey, man, keep making plays like that. Keep being in the right position. Sometimes you lose, sometimes you win. But
right. As
long as you're there, you at least have the opportunity. So I was actually, of all the bad that we saw there, I thought he was one of the positives of that game.
With Octavius Morgan, too, I think, you know, he was like the number one junior college cornerback when he committed. He's kind of fallen back on that list a little bit.
Well, sure, he committed to Iowa State.
But
I was to that fire.
And we've talked about Keyshawn Nixon a couple times, the cornerback at Arizona Western. He's good friends with DeAndre Payne.
Yeah.
And his recruitment's like all up and down. I think he's coming on a visit next week, but he'll mention Iowa State in an update, and then he won't mention them in another one, and then he'll talk about how he's friends with DeAndre Payne sometimes, and then he'll just I don't know what to think about that situation.
I think he's almost a must get at this point.
Do you?
Yeah, because you lose those three cornerbacks, and sure, that I know they like Arnold Azuna, but you know he'll still be a redshirt freshman or maybe
right.
a sophomore. He hasn't played yet this year, has he?
No, I don't think so.
And with Tribune coming back, I don't expect him to play. I think they'll redshirt him this year.
Yeah.
He'll be a redshirt freshman, and they just don't have a whole lot of guys that have been seen a lot of bullets. That's where I thought Octavius Morgan, he could come in and maybe not start, but at least he'd be in the two deeps.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you got to hold on to Hafiz. And we know how that's going to be. That will be one up till signing day. So yeah, I think they got to go get a JUCO cornerback, and I think he'll be one to watch. Are they going to still go after Octavius Morgan? You think?
Yeah, I would assume so. Yeah. Keep trying.
Yeah.
So some of our commits had some pretty big weeks, some good stats to look at.
Yeah, no, let's get to that. But before we do, let's take a minute and thank the sponsors, the Exercise Coach, for. Once again, stepping up and, you know, bringing everyone here to the On the Trail podcast. Did you know, Jared, that you cannot exercise off the food you eat today? So I know we're going to be going and grabbing some lunch today, but you need to think about that before you go and you grab a, you know, double cheeseburger or something from Bebop's.
We're going to lunch?
No, we're not going to lunch. I'm just saying if you go to lunch,
you
cannot work off the food that you eat. And the reason I know that is because the Exercise Coach told me, not only is the Exercise Coach the world's safest and smartest workout, but it's also full of information that helps explain well, I keep getting heavier every year. Learning about nutrition is a huge added bonus for the Exercise Coach. They find out what your goals and help give you the tools to achieve success. They have a metabolic comeback that is part of their program. And I want to tell you, I did this, Jared. I did this right after the Sweet 16. They gave me kind of a video. I thought I knew a lot about what was good for me to eat.
Uh-huh.
I learned I knew nothing. I ended up going into my pantry. I probably threw away half the food in my pantry. My wife wasn't too happy because a lot of the food was the food that she liked. But it's not fair because my wife can eat whatever and she still looks good. I wasn't looking good. I did this 30-day challenge that the Exercise Coach put me in, and I had phenomenal results. I lost 15 pounds in 1 month between that and working out. Felt great. Felt better about myself. And it's so funny. Now if I go back and I eat anything different, if I eat foods that aren't what I'm supposed to be eating, I feel it immediately. Before, I just thought that's how I normally always felt. Well, it's not how you're supposed to feel. And that's one thing that the Exercise Coach does for you. Not only is it a great workout, 20-minute workout, they give you the tools other ways as far as what you need to eat. And like I said, the best thing about it here, we're going to get done with this podcast. I have a busy night. I got to go pick up my kids. My wife's gone. I got to take them to 2 practices. I got to feed them dinner. I got to do all this stuff. No time to work out, right? Wrong. 20-minute workout. Before I pick them up, I'm going to go to the Exercise Coach. I'm going to get my workout on. Probably might pass out on the way to pick up the kids because it always kicks my butt, but I'm going to get it done. So there you go.
That might have been the best live read in the history of the On the Trail podcast.
I appreciate that, buddy. I really do.
I want to believe that you wrote the beginning part, but I don't.
I ad-libbed it. I ad-libbed quite a bit of that. And it's 100% true. I did. I lost 15 pounds. I need to lose about 15 more to be good. But I'll probably be starting that metabolic comeback challenge here once again. It was tough. It was hard to do, to be honest with you, especially the no beer.
Yeah.
You know me. I like myself a couple teddies. But I felt phenomenal. More energy than I've ever had before. In about 4 days, I could just tell the difference. And it once you get past the first 4 or 5 days, it's not that hard. It really isn't. And I've kept up a lot of that stuff, whether it's just eating eggs in the morning, cutting out some of the stuff, the sugars. That's a live read right
that
there.
That was a live read
yeah,
right
buddy.
There.
Yeah, buddy. So let's talk about these recruits.
I want to say one more thing about the exercise coach.
Oh, okay.
You said you have to pass out on your way to picking up the – that's not even a joke, dude.
No, it can be. That's the great thing about the workout is because you can make it however hard you want it to be.
Right.
If you want to go in there and bust it, you bust it and you get done there and you're just zapped. You're
me?
Like 20 minutes.
I'm all about 100% all the time.
Yeah, you called me
my
the first
best
time.
Effort. The first time I called you, I was not feeling 100%.
You were hurt, man. But that's good.
I took a nap in the subway parking lot in West Des Moines.
Oh, jeez. Yep, 20 minutes. And it's
those guys, they're the best.
And yeah. And did your body hurt, though, afterwards?
No.
No. No pain?
I was just tired.
Tired. Yeah, it's a good workout. Great workout.
You just put all your effort into it. All right, so commits. Who should we start with? Do you start offense or defense?
I'm going to start off here.
All right.
I'm going to start off. I'm going to give my MVP. I got actually a tie for MVP here because I like to give a little love to the offensive line, a position of great need for the Iowa State Cyclones. Jeff Nogage. Nogage. Nogage?
Mm-hmm.
From Johnstown, Monroe, in Ohio. His team played a third game here. The team is undefeated. They ran for 447 yards.
Wow.
7 yards a carry. I'm guessing all they did was just run right behind him.
I was just going to say, I'm going to imagine that they ran behind him for on every play.
I would imagine the coach would just call plays and say, lead behind Nogage. Just
that's right the play.
Him. Yep, and he probably took on 3 or 4 kids at a time. They ran down 447 yards. Just a nice, complete butt kicking. They're 3-0 now. Yeah.
Ryan Vance had a hell of a game.
Did he? He's
on
your
Friday
MVP?
Night. In a 28-27 win over Iowa high school powerhouse Bettendorf. 11.5 tackles and 2 tackles for loss.
I love it. I love it.
And like 9 tackles solo.
Now you never know. You never know how hard a kid's gonna work in the off season, how mentally prepared they're gonna be for going to college. But man, just looking at him size, watching him on the field, just in clips, he definitely stands out a kid that has a potential at a position where I would say it's really weak to come in and play right away.
It just sounds like, and looking on film, it looks like he just has a nose for the football.
Yeah.
Like just a guy that.
We could use some of that.
Yeah, definitely.
We could use some of that. My second MVP, I'm going to share this here with Charlie Kohler. His team first week won 58-0. This week they struggled a little bit more. They only won 55-7. He had 6 catches, 128 yards, and 1 touchdown. Are we sleeping on Kohler here? I think we might be sleeping on him a little bit.
This sounds like those are like Chase Allen type stats.
Yeah. And I believe you spoke with a little birdie who thought this kid could end up being kind of like a little bit of a Chase Allen, like a late riser. Because
yeah.
Chase Allen didn't have any big recruits until the end of the year
right.
when people started stepping up. So coaching staff hopefully found a little bit of a diamond in the rough here with Kohler.
Definitely. Defense was tough this week because it's hard to find stats. And the guys that I did find stats for, like both junior college defensive tackles didn't play.
Both injuries seem minor. They don't
Limo had a sprained knee. I know that one for sure. The one with Camillo, he got hurt during the first game, and I found a picture of him on the internet on crutches, and I found a picture of them carrying him off, like helping him off the field, but I can't find anything other than that.
Hopefully they just rest him for the rest of the year, keep him nice and healthy, maybe put him in some bubble wrap so he shows up here 100% next year because, I have to be honest, we're going to need both of them to be ready to go.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, Angel Dominguez is still hurt.
Jeez, our defensive line's beaten up.
I couldn't find stats for Richard Bowens, but his team lost 10-7 to Penn, a team in Indiana.
I gotta think that's a good sign, though. He held them to
points. They have the number 2 team in the country or in the state. So
Richard Bowens' team is.
Yeah.
Okay. It sounds like the offense needs to step up a little bit. He did his job. He got some stops. Sounds a little Iowa State like for some games.
Cordarius Bailey's team won 37-13 against Gentry. The newest Iowa State commit. We didn't even talk about him.
How do we not talk about that commit? That's a big one. Two kids now from Mississippi that have some big-time offers from schools down south, and Iowa State's gone down there and gotten them.
Yeah.
And the guy coming in playing probably with that Leo position that they like to play, defensive end.
Yep.
I can't say enough good things about what the staff's doing in the recruiting trail. Now it's how quick can they turn it around? Because you know these kids are going to come in. Football's different than basketball. You can't turn around football in 1 to 2 seasons. It's
right.
Going to take time. How patient is the Iowa State fan base? How quick can they get guys in that can win? Well, I mean, what's your prediction on that, Jared?
Sorry, what'd you say? I wasn't paying attention.
Wow. Okay, better question. We saw Iowa State go out and get grad transfers this year, right?
Yeah.
Everett Edwards, they tried to get Cannellina, they brought in Brian Bobeck, Murdoch from Illinois. Is Iowa State, they have to, in my opinion, they have to go out and look for a grad transfer again on the offensive line. Do you see them continue to go to that well until they can get built up where they want to be?
I wouldn't think they're going to do it to that extent every year. How many junior college or grad transfers they bring in?
4. They try to get 5 with Cantalina, obviously.
Yeah. I can see 1, you know, every once in a while. But I think that the thing about Matt Campbell is he's going to go and get the best players he possibly can. I don't think he cares whether it's a grad transfer or a junior college kid or a high school kid.
He shouldn't
you know?
Care. Go
he
get
just,
him.
He just wants to go get the best guys that he possibly can and put the best 100 people out there that he possibly can.
It wouldn't surprise me for the next 2 years if we see 4, right around that range, 3, 4, 5 every year until they get to the point where they feel comfortable from a depth standpoint to where you don't necessarily have to, and then you can be really choosy. I mean,
right.
If a guy comes around who you think is an opportunity to be an All-Big 12 caliber player, sure, you go get that guy. But, you know, right now they're just kind of probably trying to find in guys to kind of fit pieces. I mean, Edward Edwards is a nice player for Iowa State, but they're not bringing in Everett Edwards to be an All-Big 12 player. They just want him to kind of fill a gap,
right.
Play a couple different spots for him. So, yeah, I think they'll do that. And I think it's key that they go try to find somebody else on the offensive line because not only is it bad this year, you look for next year, man, it doesn't look any better next year.
No. Not really, because Nick Fett's going to be gone, Brian Bobeck's going to be gone, Patrick Scoggins is going to be gone.
Yep. And you think these freshmen that are sitting out that I'm going to be talking about here shortly, you think they're going to be ready to go next year?
No. Sean Foster better be ready to go.
So you get Sean Foster and Julian Good-Jones. With
Jake Campos will be back.
Campos and Filbert.
Bryce Meeker.
That's going to be – and there's no depth behind that.
Will
though.
Windham. Corey Kodonko.
No, thanks. No, thanks.
Did you read Alex Halstead's thing that he posted about the recruiting classes?
I did not. But, I mean, I can look right here and see that they struck out for about a 2-year time period. There's no depth there.
Yeah. It was – I think he said, like, 15 guys out of 46 are left from the 2013-14 recruiting classes.
Yeah. And their offensive linemen and linebackers are pretty much gone from there. That's really what was the downfall of Paul Rhodes. I mean,
yeah.
And he couldn't keep defensive linemen there for a while because you look at it, Iowa State was going into a season where they're going to have Rodney Coe, David Irving, who made plays for the Dallas Cowboys this last weekend, and Colin Bevins.
Yeah, who's like the best D2 defensive player in the country.
And they lost all 3 of them.
Yeah.
So it's not just getting him here, guys. It's keeping him here. It's developing him. But at least getting him here is a good start, and Iowa State staff seems to be doing a really good job of that.
Who are some other standouts on the offensive side of the ball here?
Well, I got to give a shout-out to Colin Newell's team there at Ames. Big win this weekend, beating Iowa City High in overtime. So at least one Ames program was able to beat an Iowa City program this week, salvaging a little bit of respect in that town.
There you go.
So that I'll give him a star.
Colin Newell?
Colin Newell.
They won on like a field goal, I think.
Yeah, like, yeah. It was like a 19-yarder in overtime or something like that. Yeah, so – one more player, too, that I kind of point out that I think he's done a pretty good job. His team's not very good. Matt Eaton, Pearl River Community College. Team's 0-2 now. I think they only won 1 or 2 games last year, so it's not a good power JUCO team down there. They lost 31-14 this week. He had 7 catches, 63 yards his first game, followed up by 6 catches, 71 yards. He seems to be their main target. He's catching the most passes for him. So no touchdowns yet.
I don't have a defensive stats for Cam White, but his team won 42-10. Cam Akers had 5 touchdowns. But he had 3 catches on the offense.
Did he?
Yeah.
From Cam Akers?
Yeah, he does play quarterback, by the way. We talked about that last week.
Even though he's a running back.
Yeah, he'll be a running back at the next level, but maybe he's a quarterback at high school.
Maybe we would recruit him and tell him, hey, we'll let you play quarterback. All these other schools want you at running back. Well, we have some quarterback issues. We'll let you play there.
Iowa State has a quarterback.
Who?
Devin Moore, dude.
Okay. Okay.
You think that nobody's tried that? Let's be honest here.
I'm joking here, obviously. I know. I'm joking, yes. And Iowa State is obviously recruiting Cam Akers. They're not going to get him. He's a five. He's being offered by every school in the country. But maybe Cam White can just stay in his ear, and then all of a sudden Iowa State can pull some major upset.
Yeah, that might be bigger than Oklahoma State.
It would be bigger. Josh Johnson, Central Arkansas Christian team. They got demolished this week.
How bad?
56-21.
Oof.
He had 3 catches, 55 yards, and 1 touchdown. He's not getting a lot of catches. He's had 3 both of his games, getting decent yards, 49 and 55, and getting a touchdown, but not getting a ton of balls thrown. Maybe he's getting more balls thrown his way, but not getting a lot of catches.
Jay Cummel had 3.5 tackles and 1 tackle for a loss and a 16-9 loss to Valley.
I called that one.
You did?
I did.
Rocky Lombardi led him down the field, I think, to
– For the game winner?
For the game winner, yeah.
So 3.5 tackles, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this this Dowling team, do they have a new quarterback?
I believe so, yeah. Okay. They have a couple good running backs, 2 really good running backs. One of them actually might have – I think he came to a camp. Jacob Zachary.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think he has an offer or anything. I'm just saying he came to a camp.
Yeah.
But
Devin Moore is up to 3-0 now.
Is he?
Yep.
Who'd they beat this week?
Oh, like a Dubuque team, I believe. One of those teams over there.
Okay.
He had a first interception, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. So he's now up to 8 touchdowns total for the year. Completed only 46% of his passes, but had 211 yards. And main stat, with 3-0.
So how many picks has he thrown? Just one.
8 touchdowns and 1 interception.
That's pretty good.
That's a good stat.
Devin Lamp had 4 tackles and a 59-21 win over, get this high school name, Horn.
That's it.
Horn.
Is it like the Texas Longhorn symbol?
I don't know. Cedar Hill versus Horn.
Horn. Hopefully they don't have those annoying like ooh, horns the whole time.
You mean like a Viking horn?
Yeah, even though it's annoying.
Vikes got the win this weekend.
They did. Unbelievably without Teddy Bridgewater.
I know.
Gosh, I would have thought they were going to lose every game without Teddy Bridgewater after reading the overreaction people from Twitter.
Overreaction people? You mean Chris Williams?
I'm talking about everybody. Everybody overreacts to anything anymore. Teddy Bridgewater, since when he became a top 20 quarterback, is beyond me. But I think the Vikings are going to be just fine without Teddy. Because, let's be honest, they're winning in spite of their quarterback and always have been.
Okay.
There you go. There's my rant. Let's see here. Alex Kleinow's Iowa City West team had a big win over Cedar Falls. They're 3-0 in the year. And I think Tyler Jost, after losing a triple overtime game, they came back and had a 28-26 win. They're 2-1 now for the year. So
those are cardiac kids.
Yeah, yeah. But it's all about getting those Ws, man. Finding out how to win those close games.
Those Libertyville Tigers, man. Out there getting the job done.
We got anything else?
I don't think so. It's a little bit short one today.
What's your prediction for this week? Prediction? Yeah, TCU game.
A TCU cover. That's my prediction.
A TCU cover.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know what the line is. Is it 24 now?
I saw 24 this morning. Until Iowa State shows any different, anything different, I think you got to take TCU. I got a 42-17. I don't know how we're going to get 17 unless we really clean up some things. The thing is, you know, everyone likes to point out these penalties, and the penalties are pathetic. They're I like to call them JV penalties.
TCU's one of the only 16 teams in college football that's been penalized more than Iowa State, though. So that's a bright side.
Let's hope we clean it up and they keep it going. Yeah. But I say this, it was 28-3 at halftime, and I think Iowa State might have only had two penalties in the first half.
Yeah.
So while penalties are an issue, that's not the reason.
I think it's – I mean, you could look at that too and say they're already down by a bunch. I'm sure a lot of people probably lost some focus late in the game.
Well, I think what it just does is it just shows there's an attention to detail that's poor right now for Iowa State football.
Yeah.
Because there's missed assignments, missed blocks. Just little things that Iowa State's not doing that's making a big impact in the game.
It's the controllable things. It's like what Matt Campbell talked about. We have to worry about Iowa State before we can think about TCU, you know.
I completely agree with him.
All right. Shout out to the exercise coach. One more.
Yeah. Get in there to the exercise coach in West Des Moines. Check them out. Give them a call. Four free workouts if you mention Cyclone Fanatic. Their phone number is 515-330-1299 or, like I said, 4800 Mill Civic Parkway, Suite 107 in West Des Moines. Get off the interstate. Head east. They're right there. Can't miss them.
Most def. Thanks, Adam Gray.
Thanks, Jared. Have a good one.
Yep. You have a good one, too. Thanks for listening, everybody.